Hello and welcome to episode 166 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Cassie Gibbons, and joining me this fine evening, the Cornhusker himself, Mr. Perry Burkham.
I can smell the stuffing and the turkey and the mashed potatoes and the jalapeno bacon mac and cheese.
I'm so jelly, man, of that. I cannot believe I came. I traveled hundreds of miles.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't even make me any of that jalapeno check.
You didn't ask. I should have, though. But you should come on Thanksgiving. Just come to the... Dude, you should come here for Thanksgiving.
That's it.
I'm leaving,
Kate. I'm going to Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. I'll send you a picture.
We need the technology to be able to send smells. Send the smells, Perry, please.
I'd use that on a daily basis to you, buddy.
I was going to say, that would be the biggest troll ever. But, ooh, a smelly message. Yeah. What's this?
Blah!
Oh, no, it's 9:15. It's Perry's throne time.
Hey, what are you doing? And then you got a smell message back.
You got a smell.
You got a smell. Smell. It's perfect. You Boom. Got it. Smell. Oh, my goodness.
Now all we need to do is invent the technology. We have the name.
Smell. That's wonderful, Casey.
I'm on a roll, man. Back-to-back good weeks job, with man. These great ideas.
That's such a good idea. I mean, obviously, we haven't been the first to think of smell messages, but smell.
But not smell.
It's so funny. Oh, man.
Perry, all right. I got to ask you.
Yeah?
You eat anything good this week?
Nothing.
Did you? No.
Maybe you might spark my...
I feel like it was a pretty lack... I mean, I'm trying to think.
Okay,
I
did, so let me tell you what I've been doing.
I've got something good. I got something good.
Okay.
Unless you want to take it. I did ask you the question.
No.
First.
Well, no. You take it, and then I'll go after.
So Thursday morning, I'm working, right? And normally, like, I bring my lunch, and then, like, halfway through the day, I eat that, and then I'm hungry towards the end, but it's, like, close enough that I'm at, you know, on my way home or going to be home. Thursday, man, bright and early, I was hungry, man, and I was, like, craving. Absolutely craving like an egg sandwich, but like
fried egg sandwich,
like a New York style like egg sandwich from the deli is so good, dude. It's got the Kaiser roll, and then you get like the little side of a mac salad, little quarter pound, you know, with the baby. And they don't really have that around here per se. There is one deli that I haven't been to yet. Well, I went there for lunch once, but I've never gotten breakfast, so I don't know how close it is to like a true egg sandwich that I was craving.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, it's one of those who was on like a big road, right, going the other way, so I would have had like turn over and then I'd have to deal. And I was like, I just don't feel like stopping, you know. And then I was like, I got to eat something though. I was like, I don't feel like McDonald's. You know what? I'm gonna stop at Sonic. Breakfast at Sonic, you know.
Sure, why not?
Surprisingly good, dude. Surprisingly good. A little egg sandwich, and they give you the option, the tater tots or french fries or whatever. Went with the fries, even though tater tots are probably more
breakfast-esque,
but, you know, you only live once, right? So it was like, whatever.
Right.
And then,
fries and an egg sandwich?
Mm-hmm. And then normally, like, a nice icy cold soda with a breakfast is great, too, but... I was doubling down on coffee that day, man. I need a little extra energy.
You know what's surprisingly a really good morning soda?
Pepsi?
Diet Mountain Dew. It's really good. Hmm. And I know a lot of people that drink Diet Mountain Dew a lot in the morning. Like my friend, I saw him like early at a gas station once, and he was getting a big old Diet Mountain Dew, and it was like 7 a.m.
Was
He's
it
like,
Aaron?
I get these... No. He's like, I get these every day. And he's not a, you know, not a big fat guy or anything like me.
You don't need to be a big fat guy to enjoy a good cola in the morning.
I know. I'm just saying he gets a huge thing, I guess, during his work days.
I can count 5 days a week. How many times I've had Mountain Dew on my hand.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know. I've just never really like craved it.
You're such a Mountain Dew guy though. Like I'm gonna go get some Mountain Dew and play Diablo 2 with my bros.
With
you know?
My homies.
Yeah. And WoW, classic. My yeah. gamer fuel.
No.
You're very much a gamer fuel, but you've never had it.
I mean, I've had it.
Had it a few times.
And yeah. I could think of maybe like two occasions that I've had it.
Let me tell you.
And one time it was New Year's Eve. And it was mixed with a lot of vodka, and I got super drunk. Actually, yeah. I was already super drunk, and then I was like, I'm going to put a ton of vodka in this Mountain Dew. I've never had Mountain Dew. Bad decision.
Mm. It's a classic Biv's move.
But just last point on Sonic. Super friendly. Very friendly people over there at Sonic.
I thought you had a terrible experience
this
at
was
Sonic
a different Sonic. This was a different Sonic. It was right. Lickety-split fast and super friendly people.
Gotcha. Was it on the East End?
It was more east, yeah, it was more inland,
there you
or
go.
Not inland, I guess inland would be the opposite. It was more
was it uptown?
Coast.
This was the uptown Sonic. Mm. I was going to say what I've been doing recently is, and this is either the laziest thing you've ever heard or it's actually a really good idea, but
I'll
I just get
like,
a, like 5 pounds of beef, right? Like a big old 5 pound of beef. And then cook it with some onions and saute it, you know, and then season it like with chili. So it's like chili, but it's just beef and onions and maybe put some garlic and stuff in there too. So it's just this like big, it's just like a bunch of cooked chili meat, right? And that's great. And then like what you can do with that is like if you have like a frozen burrito, then you can like just take a burrito and just like smother it with that and like microwave it for like a quick meal. It's amazing. Mm. But also what you can do is fry up like to reheat, fry up that chili meat, go down to Taco Bell and get just like a couple of their Fritos like burritos. Like you can get like burritos for $1 there. So we go and get like 4 of them. You know, like 2, and they're just small, you know, and just get those, come back and load them up with tons of delicious beef. And then if you put like the taco sauce in there, it tastes just like Taco Bell, but you get tons and tons of meat, which funnily enough, my doctor told me this last week, I need to eat much more red meat.
I feel like you might be like the only person in the world that can prescribe more red meat.
I was like, all right, well, yeah. I'm not supposed to have carbs, but I can have red meat. So I was like, all right, doctor's orders, red meat.
That's it.
But
I'm going to Texas
Casey,
Roadhouse.
It's kind of a life hack that I've learned is amazing, like, especially for like low-carb meals. Because if you just cook up some beef and you're not worried about low-carb, but this is for everyone else out there. For all my diabetic homies, they probably like that. And then you can put cheese on it too. You put some, baby. Mm.
Cheese, dude. Cheese on anything.
Cheese on anything. Anyway. So.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We don't have that much to talk about this week.
Yeah, it's been a light week for us, right? In the sense, I've been chiseling away at some more Dragon Quest and some more WoW Classic, which I know you are actually very, very intrigued about the Golden Joysticks PC Game of the Year. WoW Classic,
you know,
dude.
You said WoW Classic and Skype cut off.
Yeah,
I think Skype's helping me here.
But you already knew what I was talking about.
I did.
But yeah, so I'm not going to
reiterate.
Yeah, and
I would say that that is one of the only silly downfalls of playing a big ol' RPG is like it just takes a long time. And that's not a bad thing. But when you have a weekly podcast, then it's more of the same.
I wanted to jump in and dabble around with something else just, you know, to be able to talk about something. But yeah, it was... Time evaporates so quickly, right? And then I got home from work a little late today. Like I was in sort of anticipating having a few hours before the podcast to be able to jam out on something and even just talk a little bit about it. But you know how it goes.
I do know how it goes. I know. Now, so I guess I'll just start with my wrapping up my thoughts on New Super Lucky's Tale. And fun stuff, we're going to have a really fun interview next week.
We've been having interviews all over the place.
Yeah. And we might be even having another interview this week that will be on next week's episode.
Double episode.
So it's crazy. But look forward to the end of this. We did have a fun interview. And check that out. But yeah, New Super Lucky's Tale. This is the game that I kind of gushed about with my gushers.
You are a gusher.
Gushers do sound good. We had our friend of the show, Josh, said he almost bought some gushers when he was at the store after listening to our episode last week. To which I said, why not? Why not? I can't remember his answer. But, dang it, Bobby. New Super Lucky's Tale. I 100%ed it. And I guess this will be kind of spoilery thing if you're playing through it, but it's not really that spoilery. It's just kind of like what that means, I guess, is what I'm going to go through. But obviously, you have your however many worlds, 6 or 7 worlds. I think there's 6, 7, I don't know. And each world is filled with different levels, and each level, there's like big levels and there's mini levels. The big levels have 4 pages, or I think of them as stars from Mario, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Four pages you can earn for each one. So you get 4 of those. And then out in the main world, there are mini little levels that are just one objective that give you 1 page. So these range for each world. You get like anywhere from like 17 to like something like 24, probably 24 pages in each. So it's not terribly huge. And like I said, I recommend 100%ing it from the because like what happened is I played through the first like 3 worlds and then went back and then 100%ed them. So I kind of ended up playing the levels twice, which was fun.
At least you don't burn out, right?
Oh, well like how that's we were what's talking so cool about it. Well, what's so cool is that like, yeah, this game, I did not feel burnout at all playing through it because the levels are designed so well that you can complete. It's not like, I'm trying to think of a good, they're really well crafted to where you can 100% them in the first go and then finish the level. You know, like only on like the auto runner levels, which are really fun and they're really quick, so you don't mind going through them again. Like that's what's so cool. Like they're like 1.5 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of like bit trip runner. It's kind of like that, but you know, a little bit, you know, a lot more. You can die or you know you can get hit and stuff, but so only that you can't like you know get them on one go, but you'll go back through and get them through. But it feels really good. It just feels really, it's really fun to play because you know there's no timer. You can walk around and find it, and all you know all the letters are in the right order. So you know the Lucky, the lucky letters. You know where one should be. There's a really tricky ones, and it's funny. Jules and I both got caught on the same. We both like were like caught for a long time on one of the tricky ones. And if anyone's playing this, I bet that they will know this one I'm talking about. But anyway, it's fun. And I really enjoyed it only all like through and through. Once I understood how the game's mechanics worked, how you move, how you progress through the game. I will say that, again, the player package is amazing. You know, the actual how Lucky moves. And the burrowing that you can dive down and burrow under the ground is just so much fun. And once you beat the main boss, so here's the kind of spoilery stuff, so if you want to skip ahead like 30
all right, I'll be right back.
Yeah. after you beat it, this is what's really fun, is like you unlock the last world. And it's after, you know, I think there's credits and everything too, but there's like a last world. And it's just, and there's 16 different levels. And they're all they're really tough levels, and instead of getting pages, you get medals.
Mm.
So there's 16, and and there's a lot of fun, and they're tough, and they have like a like this like old kind of like old N64 vibe to them, which is you know like a throwback. They're really fun, and I really had a lot of fun playing through the game. It's just a really good pick up and play game. I think I played the rest of it on handheld. And it worked just great, and it's just a very fun game. I would highly recommend it. Casey, I really think that you'd like it, honestly. I think you'd really get a kick out of the game. It's a fun game. If you're looking for a quick game that's a fun 3D platformer, it's really good.
I've got the demo, so I definitely need to I need to play it this week.
Yeah. No, I just think it's a good, it would be a good, you know, refresher game. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, especially after like messing around with these big RPGs to like.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're really fast. And yeah, and like I said, you don't have to do the 100%ing. I just, actually really fun.
But
it's not even that hard though. That's the thing. Like, that's what I like about it is it's kind of like if you just put like a little bit into exploring, like,
you might as well play Kirby then.
It's not like, no, I know. It's definitely tough. And like I said, I would say, and one thing though, I do need to mention, there are a little bit of issues with the Switch version. I mean, really just being the loading times. Because, and then that with the game design too is like, the way like if a level, like it, like there's some weird things, like if you want to restart a level, it like, or if you die, it like loads the whole level again. So if you die, big loading time, like way bigger than you think. So that's pretty annoying. And then going into levels, it's just a pretty long loading time. So you're gonna want to have your phone handy so you can watch, so you can check Twitter or something, you know, like while you're playing, which is definitely unfortunate. But in the grand scheme of things, like, yes, it's unfortunate. It does suck. Didn't ruin my experience at all. But I mean, everything else, the game runs fantastic. And like I said, it's just a, and like, I mean, not all the design is like perfect or anything, but I mean, it's just a very well crafted game. I would love to see them make another one. And they do hint to it too at the end, like, there, this could be the, this seems like it's the, just the beginning of his adventures, you know. So I think it'd be fun to do another one. But yeah, a lot of fun. New Super Lucky's Tale 2. Skibbity bibbity.
Boom.
Yeah. And I guess I know that I've been jabbering. You have nothing to talk about, right?
Any games I played this week, I pretty much already talked about, so I don't want to.
Okay, well,
keep
I'll just have a little quick bite then.
Keep on gushing.
Quick bite. Quick bite. This one definitely ain't going to be gushing, unfortunately. But I need to say, this is like an hour or so in, an hour and change into this game. And this is early impressions, and I plan on playing more, but I'm going to give you my honest early impressions of Forager. So Forager. This is a game that is like an indie game that came out and like a probably like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, something like that. I'm guessing it was hinted. It was kind of a showcase title in one of the indie,
Yeah, I remember
broadcast things.
I remember it sticking out.
Yeah, because it's this pixel. It's really, you know, kind of a really clean, bright pixel looking game that you're going around, and you're chopping down trees and stuff, and it looks like Zelda too. And there's some dungeons and stuff. And, you know, you're basically taking a pickaxe. It's kind of like Minecraft.
Yeah, I see you're not purchasing new lands, right? Or new tiles to sort of mess with.
Yeah, yeah. So I've only got one new tile, and then it gave me... So what happens is you start off, and you're on this little block of land, and there's trees, and there's stones with gems in them, and you just take your pickaxe that you have, and you hit them, kick, and then they break into a bunch of stuff of things that you of what would you call them into materials. They break
some
into
mats.
mats, and you can take those, and then you can you know, you're gonna want to make an oven or whatever, something first, then you want to make like a I can't remember, it's like a sewing machine or something like that, and then a weapon thing. And Jill just brought me some coffee. Thank you, Jill.
Woo-wee. Coffee
delivery. My Toe Jam and Earl mug. I always love my Toe Jam and Earl mug. It's a great mug. Sorry about that. So you just, it's kind of the idea of, you know, trees are sprouting up. So like they constantly keep coming back. It's some magical little land. And you're chopping them down, and then you're going, and then you're making new things, like making new materials that to make new things, to make new things. It's kind of, it's just kind of like a, it's like a loop. And so it feels good. I mean, like the the cutting down trees feels good, right? There's something satisfying about taking a hatchet or a pickaxe and hitting something and it, seeing like the little level go down and then it finally exploding and then four, you know, little logs pop out of the tree and you collect them and it feels good. And then there's like you can build fish catchers, like fish nets that you can put out in the ocean, and then every once in a while they'll catch a fish and you can pick it up. So then the other part is there's a hunger bar, and so every once in a while he'll say I'm hungry and then you just take food and you eat. Really simple. Now, like I said, I'm really early, but it's just been kind of a grind like the entire time, like literally just walking around. Like I said, it feeds that satisfying thing, but it's not very fun right now. There are, like, I did have sets of enemies come up, like a slime, and you know, they can hurt you if they jump on you, but you can kind of easily kill them, and then you get materials from them that you can use to make a new pickaxe, you know, that kind of a stuff. And then as you level up, you gain experience from everything that you cut down. As you level up, you get points that you can use as mods, basically, to upgrade yourself, you'll get 50% more materials from trees, you know, that kind of stuff. Or
that just sounds like a good one.
Yeah, it is. So and like all those on paper are really fun, you know. But just when it comes down to it, right now the game hasn't been very fun because it's just walking around, you know. It's not hard. There's no challenge. It's just walking around, chopping down stuff and grabbing materials to make new things to chop down. Which is really interesting, right? So, but apparently, I mean, I'm hoping that I'm just around the bend of,
you know, yeah, when it sort of opens up
there's supposed to be dungeons, I think, and stuff like that. And obviously, like I unlocked the blueprint, to make a bow and arrow, you know. So I got to find that and do stuff. And then like, it's a well crafted game, pun intended. But
you're just waiting for it to click almost, that aha moment where, oh, this is actually, now it's taking that satisfying feeling and sort of putting it into like a fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, to me, it's like this game could be like infinitely times better, if it was kind of like Kingdom in a way where at night, because you go on a day-night cycle, like how cool would it be if at night you get attacked from the sides and you got to build walls. And it's like, that's what I've been getting materials for. Like, that's a fun thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And maybe it does do that. I have no idea if it does. I mean, you can build, there's a lot of things that I haven't been able to build yet. So I have no idea. But as of now, it's like, it's just not a really good first impression game. And then I'm going to touch on one pet peeve. Are you ready for Perry's pet peeve?
Perry's pet peeve.
Perry's pet peeve.
That pervert.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That'll be the end of the jingle.
Barry's pet peeve.
That pervert. Let's
hear
it.
That's funny. Well, when you start the game, it has this pixelated person dev that says, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I really hope that you enjoy my game as much as I enjoy it, or I enjoyed making it, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, like, that's cute, you know. Every time, but then here's the thing is, like, every time you die, it's weird. It's like, apparently this game's a roguelike. I don't understand how, because it's like if you die because you get hit by the slime or whatever, you'll start over, but you start exactly from where you were. It's really weird. But, like, when you die, it, like, literally, like, restarts the game. Like, it resets the game. Like the credits, like, from when you load a game up, like the Humble, because this was made.
Yes, it's
by
literally
Bundle.
Like you had closed like it's out like that. And reopened up the.
And it opens up to the main menu, and it's like, okay. And that's when weird. It does that, it does like the, hey, this is so and so, and I really hope you enjoy my game as much as I. And it's like, every time, like you die, it does that. And then.
Is death like a super common occurrence?
No. But one of, like, even the first time I died was stupid because I was talking to a guy. I was talking to this guy, and after his text box like stopped, the slime was like in mid jump and jumped on me. I had no control over it really at all, and I was like, "What?
Sounds
okay,
like
I guess I'm done." And like the funny thing is, I don't even know how to get hearts. Like I don't even know how to. I know how to. Your hunger bar is different from your health, but I don't even know how to get like hearts back. I mean, obviously, there's a way, but I don't even, I can even yeah. see. But, and then like, okay, but my pet peeve here is this, like when I go back to the menu and then it says extras, so extras is another thing you can pick from and it's lit up. And then like you click on it and it's like this little, I don't even know what it is cause I didn't, but it said, you know, how I made this game, you know? And it's just like this little picture of this guy like by his computer, like a little pixel guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like there, you could not take me more out of your game more than doing this, than saying, oh, please love my game. Hey, check out how I made this game. I hope you love it as much as I do. It kind of takes away from the whole experience. It's kind of annoying, actually. Mm. And I hate to sound so salty, but it's just kind of like, look, I put all this effort into this game, and like everyone does on every one of the games they've ever made. But it's kind of like, do you really want me to think that one person made this game? Is that what you want me to, like, is that what you want everyone to think? I mean, if it's amazing, like, that, there's nothing wrong with that. But, like, to me, if I was making a game, I wouldn't want people to think that. I would want people to think that a team made this game, you know what I mean? Like, that the production value is huge and that it's just crafted very well. And when it comes down to it, it's kind of like, it makes me feel guilty for criticizing the game because it's like, what do you mean you don't like it? Like, don't you know how much effort I put into it? You know, I even put my helpful video to see how much effort I actually put into the game.
Did you watch the video? Like,
no, I don't even know if it's a video. It could be like a little comic strip or something. I don't know. It's just a little thing of many, the first of many. And it's not, like I said, this is Perry's pet peeve. Okay. So don't get all angry.
Wait, he's a pervert.
It's just a little thing, but it kind of stuck out to me that it kind of made my experience a little worse when it's like, you know, I don't really want to know about, like, in the game. If I was really interested and I loved the game, I would seek out the developer.
Yeah, to find out what they're up to
and find out more. And then, hey, and you know, but I don't really care. Like, that doesn't help the case for inside the game. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. And, this is the end of Perry's pet peeve.
The birth and the end now of Perry's mm-hmm. pervert pet peeve.
You always got to add that. The P stands for pervert.
Well, with Perry and perv and pervert and pet peeve and all the P's, you know, it's mm-hmm. just too easy.
It really is.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, but I will put more time in. Like, I haven't given up on the game. And like I said, the game looks great, and it plays just fine. It plays, and it's a cute game, and I just hope it gets a hook into me. And I know that I read, and it's funny because I think I want to say Jordan reviewed it on the site, and I think that his review is going to be, I shouldn't say that. Let me just look it up real quick. I think that I remember it for some reason. I think I remember it getting a 6.5. I think I'm right here. Let me check. And it's funny. I don't know why I have that in my head. It did. And it was Jordan. Yeah. You know, the game just looks so good and when it opens up, but it's taken a while to open up and it's quite a grind. So, And the first con is gameplay becomes very repetitive, and this is from the first hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you'd imagine
it gets to a point where it's like, do I need to spend more time on this game, or should I just, you know, go to the backlog of games that I should play? You know,
I say you give it one more like a half hour. You give it a, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And if mm-hmm. it gets the, I mean, obviously yeah. you don't have to, but like one more shake at it, you go,
like,
you know what?
One more college try.
Yeah. You go, okay, we'll give it a half hour. If it's not really popping open, then boom, we're outie. But you know, is it like a super long game? I mean, I guess you would, I don't know if you looked up beforehand, like, is it a brisk experience where 5-6 hours and you go, all right, like, it's repetitive, but you could see the end without it being like terribly repetitive, right? Or is it something that that drags on where you're like, ay, ay, ay?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know. I honestly have no idea how long the game is, and I don't know really why it's pushed as like a, I don't know if it has been pushed as a roguelike, but it kind of has that, like, that game over thing, right? So you kind of start, but you start right back where you were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a reason why that happens when you get further in. Like, I'm sure you lose something. But, yeah, I mean, apparently that they're supposed to be a ton of additional content coming, like quality of life improvements and new game modes and stuff like that, and multiplayer, which could be fun, right? Like mm-hmm. And to me, honestly, and just like Jordan says in his review, I feel, and like I said, 1 hour in, but I feel like there could be so much more potential for the game where it has a solid, great framework, and I don't mind crafting. It's just like, why am I crafting, you know?
You're
I'm crafting
to craft
more. I don't mind crafting. Crafting. I don't mind.
You're playing
crafting.
Minecraft?
I don't mind crafting.
No one minds crafting.
No, but I do mind crafting. Mm. But I'd actually,
we're
going to
talk
though.
A little bit about
as
that
as long as
later
it's for
on.
Something. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as Minecraft. It's like, it's kind of the same thing. It's like with me, Minecraft didn't hook me either. I mean, a little bit did, and I get the potential, but
you should
it's
play
just
Dragon
janky,
Quest Warriors at
Builders.
Wow, Dragon Quest Builders 2, man. Ooh, oh,
I didn't know you liked that game.
God, I don't like that game, dude. I freaking love that game.
I think that we've said that joke before about that game. I think we have.
What, that I don't
I think
like
this
it,
exact
I love
joke
it.
Where I said I didn't know you liked that, and I think that you said the same thing. I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's funny. If I'm nothing else, I'm consistent.
Yeah, you are.
For my love,
consistent.
I'm telling you, dude. Top five, easy.
Top five of the year?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Nice, dude.
Top
well,
three,
you know what?
Probably
it's,
easy.
It's kind of nice because it's kind of nice coming from my high of games that like are unbelievably good from last week.
Yeah.
And being like, are all games this good? Oh, no, they're not all this good. Okay, good.
You
okay.
Can't be peaking all the time. You need a couple of...
Can't be peaking all the time.
A couple of lulls.
Yep. Speaking of a couple of lulls, there might be a few lullabies in the eShop Roundup after we take
well,
this quick musical break.
Actually, we're not taking a break, Perry.
Oh, you I was big, hoping that segue would be
you big
like half good.
Well, you got it out there in the ether, so people know Perry's half decent at the transition.
It was definitely a half decent one. Half it was decent. Not a good by any means, yeah.
But yeah, well, I was in the shower before, sudsing up as you do.
Do tell.
And I was like, man, I don't have any games to talk about. And then my brain started wandering, and I was thinking about the good old 3DS.
Oh,
and
I
then
love the 3DS.
I was thinking, man, is there a possibility that there could still be a successor to the 3DS? And I sort of prefaced this with the thought of, like, how great was it? Like, just picking up, I mean, and I guess 3DS games were $40, but I'm thinking like back when like you could get a DS game, Game Boy Advance game for like $30, you know, it's like go down, get a nice physical game, $30, like, and you didn't feel like for me, if you look at my like game collection, right, the DS has probably, I shouldn't say probably, has by far the most games, you know, because it was one of those, okay, you could really roll the dice on a game because it was $30, right? It was like, if you hated it, it was $30. And I know now with the Switch and everything, you could, there's downloadable games and, you know, eShop titles that are 10, 15, 20, 30, you know, you look at that. But I don't know, there's just something so quaint about going down to the store, picking up your good old DS game, you know, sort of perusing the shelves.
Well, I do need to say this. There are tons of $30 games.
Oh, no, I'm not
you know,
doubting that.
Like Forager is a $30 game.
Yeah, but is it? Could you get that physical?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That's what I'm playing it physical. I unboxed it.
I don't know, but I guess for me, a part of it also lies in the fact that, like, you could get a Nintendo game. Like, and I know Nintendo, like, they're not really releasing downloadable only titles, right? Like, I guess they probably have a few of them, but like you're not getting those,
right?
Like WarioWare games,
dude.
You're not getting the Rhythm Heaven games.
I know what happened.
Like all these smaller titles.
I know
that
the
were
3DS was
fun.
Like the end of that era. You know, the 3DS was like the last of that. You know.
Yeah, it's because
it was the
like,
last of like they can do pixel games and like 3D games. The 3DS is basically the best platform of all time.
Because like I know with like the Switch games, like obviously Nintendo is gonna roll out like, hey, we're putting all of our money into this game, or, you know, like a nice healthy budget into this game. It's going to be a $60 premier title you're going to buy, you know, which is great. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not doubting that Nintendo is still pumping out awesome games.
Is it great?
I mean, it is what it is, you know, like, I think, okay. like Pokemon, for instance, where if that was on the 3DS, right, it'd be $40 for the extra $20. And granted, I have yet to play it, but I've seen some stuff on it. It's like, it looks like it's worth in like from a, like, it would never look that good on the 3DS, you know what I mean? Like, the world looks really great. Big areas to explore and stuff. But, like, I don't know. I miss that, hey, my 3DS is nice and small, fits in my pocket. It's got all these quirky games that, like, they're weird quirky. And they're from...
I forgot about that Caseyism.
That's the real thing, dude. Quirky game. A little weird
odd. No one says quirky. Quirky is what you're looking for. Quirk. Q-U-I-R-K.
Quirky,
not
quirky,
quirk.
Quirky.
Quirky.
Potato, potato.
Yeah, you can say potato, patata, but no one says quirky.
I do. So therefore, you're wrong.
You're right. I am wrong. You do.
Yep.
And you are someone.
True and
hey,
tried,
Casey,
baby. True and
you
tried.
You are someone.
But you know what I mean? Like, I miss those, like, weird
titles. I 100% titles. Know what you mean.
And then I was just thinking, like, is there a world where we see, like, I don't want to call it a 4DS, you know what I mean? But, like, a successor in that lineage of the Game Boy, you know? You don't think in any world.
Switch Lite.
You think that's the answer?
It has to be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, they merged their divisions. They haven't talked anything about it. I don't think that 3DS, I mean, I don't know. I mean... I'm gonna say 95%. I'm 95% sure. No, because they have the Switch, and the Switch is a handheld system. It literally is. It's not a home console. You know, like, it only is a handheld system, and that's what's so brilliant about the Switch. It's like, can you believe that it's like they just released a handheld system with thousands of titles on it, you know? Like, just instantly. It's pretty crazy that they have this, and that you can play Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
No, handheld. I get it. But, like, that's a $200 handheld. Like, and I know...
The 3DS was $250 when it came out.
Yeah, and look how quick they reeled that back, you know?
But the 3DS XL is $199. Like, what do you mean? It's the same price.
Was it? For some reason, I was thinking it was cheaper than that. Ugh. No. I just want
right
another
now.
3DS, dude.
Well, of course you do. I know. I mean, who doesn't?
You don't need another one. Your big box.
Do you need one? I'll send you a 3DS.
No. I still have 3DS. I was just joking that. Yeah. You didn't need a.
No, I just dude. I know. It's the best. It's really the quality of games that came out and like I said,
the
diversity
in the games too.
I wish that I would totally go for. Like, that's what sucks is, like, you can't make those games. Like, you literally can't make those games. Like you can't make the DSiWare games on the Switch. Like, you can't, you know, you don't, the low pixel density or the big pixel density, you know, you just can't, you have to put a little more resources in and it can't happen. The 3DS barely got by and it actually had a lot of really good download-only titles. Like it had, like, a lot of character ones. Like, like that Dylan's Rolling Western and like the Sakura Samurai
and those aren't games Nintendo's working
like where the heck is Pushmo, dude? What the heck?
And that's the annoying thing is
Why
that
isn't
Nintendo
that on here?
Could still be putting games like that out on the Switch.
I know.
Like you said, I guess it.
Where's Mario versus Donkey Kong?
Well,
you know,
said nobody ever. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
I'm joking,
dude. That game's amazing.
Well, they just kept going with them.
Oh, right. Yeah, they did keep going, right? They released one too many. That Amiibo
star,
one was stupid.
Yeah, the Amiibo one. Yeah, but
the
that
tipping
was free
stars
to play,
was awesome.
Wasn't it? The Amiibo one was free to play, so it's like I can't hate on that. They were just looking for
any Tipping Stars
excuse.
Was awesome, too, because you got it on Wii U and the 3D.
That
was like
that was
Mario
one of
Maker.
The first
cross-buys.
Well, yeah, quote-unquote cross-buys.
Yeah.
But yeah. We'll send you a code for the other one. Oh, I just miss it, dude. Like, if they... I would be so jacked up if they were like, hey guys, we're releasing $150 whatever, next DS, you know, Game Boy, whatever, you know, and it's going to be offering those games like that again and a true mobile, you know, or portable experience. Because, I mean, like you said, I know the Switch Lite is portable and all that, but it's still, that's not fitting in nice and snugly in your pocket. Well,
wouldn't it
be
interesting? You know, I mean, this is not Nintendo and they never would do this, but, you know, since Nintendo has been doing a lot of stuff that I never thought they'd do. You know, it's interesting, and I know this is not really solving the problem, but what if they did release a new system that was a new 3DS, like it had all of the capabilities of a 3DS with a higher resolution screen, that the idea being that you could download it. It was like a virtual console, and you could download Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, DS, and 3DS games. And it had, like, the libraries on there, like, that you could buy from, like a digital. Like, wouldn't that be fun?
Like, I think Sony did something like that.
Yeah, they did that with the Vita. They did the Vita Go.
Vita Go, right? Yeah, like, there was no cartridge slot, right? It was just all downloaded.
Like, there's no cartridge slot, but it's all digital.
Which is smart because those UMDs, ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. Well, then what I wanted to say, the reason why I said the higher resolution is because, like, if you, like Game Boy games look terrible on the 3DS, like, because there's, unless you play them,
like, natively
in pixel perfect mode, and then they're really tiny, you know? So if you had, like, a really nice high resolution screen, you know, that you could emulate Game Boy games and 3DS games for that matter and all that stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
be sweet. I mean, that would be awesome. Because then, like, I would, like, having that, and then, like, even, you know, going as far as, like, to be able to dock it, you know? Like, that would be so sweet. Or be able to hook it into the TV,
yeah.
To play
but then,
those games, but that wouldn't need to happen.
I don't think. Yeah, if they were truly going for like a cheaper kind of thing, like because then essentially, say, hey, it's another Switch.
Well, and I get that. Yeah, the only thing it's like the Switch just couldn't really do the DS stuff. You know, like they could. Like I don't know why they don't have a Game Boy and a Game Boy Color and a Virtual Console. Like I think I'm assuming the licensing is just nightmarish. For them,
mm-hmm.
That has to be it, right? Because obviously, if it was easy, I think they would do it. I think it must be, you know, terrible to do how they're doing it. And I just like I would, and they would make so much more money out of me, and I would like it so much more if I could just if I could buy the games that I wanted,
yeah.
Instead of having like the 30 games with the thing that I have to connect to the internet for. I don't know why. It's just to me like I would much rather purchase the games so I know that I have them on my system forever and that kind of a thing. So. It's quite the conundrum, but
yeah, I just miss the good old 3DS, man.
I miss the Wii U. Yeah.
Bring it! I want to play the gamepad.
Yeah,
which we already did.
That's right. We played a lot of Wii U when you were here, and in Virtual Console.
Mm.
That was fun.
It sure was, dude. Bringing back the good old days.
Yeah. No, but I said, like, I remember when I played Sushi Striker not too long ago, and then, you know, playing back on the 3DS, dude, man, best system ever.
Boom. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep, especially, I mean, for that kind of thing. If you want your twin stick shooters, but, you know, you don't.
Yeah.
Kid Icarus Uprising. I was thinking about Kid Icarus Uprising.
With that, dude, when it came
did you ever play that? Did you ever play that multiplayer mode online? That's amazing.
Sure,
it's like a third person shooter. It's amazing. You probably could still play it. It's really good. Anyway, shout out to Kid Icarus Uprising Online. Game night.
Game night. And speaking of which,
we should play that.
I believe that's this Friday.
Is it?
I believe it's the 22nd. Pretty sure it's this Friday. Might be Saturday, but I'm pretty sure Friday. Patreon game night, baby. $1. Come on down. Come on down. You get some extra episodes as well. But yeah, we're gonna be playing Luigi's Mansion, some multiplayer.
Yeah, buddy, I can't wait to try that out. That'll be awesome.
Oh, it's gonna be a blast.
Yep. All right, are we now ready to take a break?
We're ready. You want to take another crack at a transition?
Yeah.
Segue.
Yeah. So, in speaking of lullabies, there might be a few lullabies in the eShop roundup after we take a quick musical break.
Nailed it.
You
perv.
Hello,
Yes, we are. With the E-Shop Roundup.
And it's time for
E-Shop Roundup.
Yeehaw.
The new E-Shop Roundup.
Yeehaw. Now, Perry, we've got some winners.
Yeah.
Winners, chicken dinners.
I love starting off the E-Shop with winners, you know? Because we're all winners here. We're all winners.
Nope. We don't give out participation awards.
We don't give out participation awards.
Except this week. Because if you participated, you win a code.
Well, you can participate, but you still have to win. So really, these winners are winners for participating.
Oh, they're the winners. I was talking about the other winner who won because he participated.
Ah, gotcha.
But we'll get into that in a moment's time. All right.
I like saying participate.
Participate.
Okay, so we got three winners for day and participate. I think I got this. Participators. We have three winners for day and night.
Yes, a fun little puzzle game.
A little falling block puzzle game.
Yeah, we had an interview a couple weeks back, and it's a fun little game.
With Jaime.
Yes, good old Jaime. Yep, so our first winner goes to Maria, who her Twitter handle is XAOITSUPASA. I was going to try and read that one out, and I was like,
your Twitter is at Exitostabasa.
Well, I think it's A-O Tasaba, Tubasa, X-A-O.
Subasa.
Tuspa, anyway, I don't know.
We're probably
butchering it, but that's okay.
Thank you.
Next one is nice and easy for you, though. I'm giving you the easy one this week.
You know what? No, I'll take the hard one. Next one is Homura, which is at S-U-T-A-A-T-O underscore Pucci. Sutato Pucci. Puchai.
I think it's Puchai.
I'm going to say Pucci.
These are really fun.
But thank you, Homura. And now, who we have left?
Then we've got here Benny Ben at Roberto.
Isn't your middle name Robert?
Yes.
Yeah. It's Mr. Ben Robertso.
Roberto.
Yep. Or maybe it's Robert's O. Anyway.
Or maybe it's
Rob. Congratulations.
Yurtso.
Congratulations, everyone. Now, we have an exciting giveaway this week.
He is the participation award we were talking about. So last week, we had mentioned if you pop on over to iTunes, give us that 5-star rating, you're going to get a code for day and night. And that's
right.
Just what David MT did.
Woo-wee!
Yep, 5 stars.
So congrats, David MT.
Yep, the best Nintendo podcast. Highly recommended. I look forward to listening to Talk Nintendo every week. Perry and Casey are very passionate about Nintendo and its shows. Very informative and entertaining. Give it a listen, and I guarantee you will return for more. And we very much appreciate
Amazing.
The kind words, and we hope you enjoy your code. We're sending that bad
right.
boy over via Twitter.
And we have two more codes that we're going to give to the next two people. Well, we're going to pick two, if there's more than two, of people to go and write a 5-star. Well,
it's got to be 5 stars,
review.
Dude.
Okay, it's got to be 5 stars. If we're going to pay for the review, it's got to be 5 stars.
If we're shilling, we're going to shill hard. Yeah.
But so go over there right now. On iTunes, it'd be great. It's awesome. And then also on Twitter, we're going to be giving away a $5 eShop gift card.
Ooh-wee!
So you could purchase towards these eShop Roundup picks that we have. But yeah, go retweet that right now.
And it's actually good timing for the eShop gift card because I tell you what, those cyber deals are going to start cropping up here. I know Nintendo of Europe posted some, I believe, up to 70% off on games. Obviously, like the Nintendo, published ones are probably going to be like much less than 70%. But I remember like they've had some crazy good deals on some indie titles, so it's definitely going to be worth keeping your eyes peeled for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now it's time for our picks of the week. So, Casey, you have an interesting pick.
Yeah, so I was looking through, and like I saw one game that I was like, yeah, that game looks pretty good, but it was another like run-and-gun shooter game, and I'm like, I talk about these like all the time. So I was like, I want to try and go a little out of the wheelhouse here, look for something a little different.
Out of the case house.
And we're going with WRC8 FIA World Rally Championship, which is a racing game, $49.99. It's a big boy. Dynamic weather system, baby. And I guess they've rebuilt the career mode.
Dynamic weather system.
From the ground up. Well, for a racing game, that's pretty important. You know, I feel like maybe not super important, but a cool feature. Get them snowy levels. But yeah, they've rebuilt the career mode from the ground up. Multiplayer weekly challenges and such. I watched some gameplay because I'm like, these racing games, they never show any gameplay on the eShop. It's just screenshots of the cars.
I know. It's always like screenshots from like the dev kit.
Like, wow. Yeah. Those are just real cars. No.
Yeah.
it is definitely not the most gorgeous game you've ever seen, but it's not ugly. Like, it's not bad. Like, I mean, if you compare it to like a PS4 or an Xbox One, you're probably going to be like, yikes, you know, because like the environments aren't going to look as good. But I guess in a game like this, when you're going fast and you're paying attention to the driving, it's like, how often are you really going to be like staring out into the trees and see how they
look? I really like how you are justifying bad graphics right now.
Well, no, I know. I'm just saying it's not like the most, they're not awful. They're not bad. They're just not great, right. You know? And I know a lot of, like...
But it is a full... It's a full release.
Yeah. Well, I just know with, like, racing games, like, one of the big perks is, like, it looking good, you know?
Mm-hmm. So,
but anyway, I digress. Your go, buddy boo.
My next pick is Squidgy's Takeover, which is pretty far down. I think this was actually last week, but I missed it.
Volunoid.
Squidgy's Takeover. Now, do you know who developed this game?
Sure don't.
Our friends over at Giant Margarita.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the party golf and party crashers.
Heck yeah.
Devs. Yes. So hopefully I can get them on and we can talk about this game. But this is Ian sent me an email. He said it's like Lemmings with physics is what he said. So it looks like a little fun little puzzle game and these little cute, and they're called Squidgies. So you can imagine what they are. But they're Squidgies, and it's kind of like a World of Goo also, kind of reminds me of that. You kind of have to figure out the little puzzle and get things there. And anyway, it's $15. It has a Jimmy price of $15.
Ugh. Big old Jaime price, huh?
It's really three Jaime prices together, three $5 put together.
Yeah.
But you know those Tasmanians.
When will they ever learn?
You never know, yeah. But yeah, hopefully we can talk more about that. We'll have them on. But what's your last pick of the week?
Next up here,
I have one more.
Tactical Minds 2. It is it's $4.99 on sale right now, 50% off, $2.49 until the 28th, which I actually believe is Thanksgiving. It is a cool looking little puzzle game. Enjoy the classic brain teasing challenges offered by chess, but with entirely new rules and concepts. Yeah.
I remember this on the old eShop Roundup for the first game.
Yeah, local multiplayer or campaign against the comp.
Yeah, I feel like we've at least had the first game on twice. I think it was on the Wii U eShop and it was on the Switch eShop. And this is the sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool looking game.
I like chess.
I mean, it's just a simple looking chess like, but like on the 3D field, so like you can go around, so it's wrapped around stuff. It's cool.
Boom. What's your final pick of the week, bud?
My final pick of the week is actually a game that I really like that I've played before on the 3DS, and that's called Blue Kid 2. And it's only $4.99, and it's on sale right now for $3.99. But this is like a really good platformer. Like, it's actually like the physics feel really good. I loved it on 3DS. It had Stereoscopic 3D. And I remember I was like completing the whole game and doing all the challenges and having a blast with it. And then there was one of the blue coin power-ups that I could not figure out how to get as I was playing. And I was having fun with it, but I was like, I can't like stop and move on and come, like I have to figure this out. So I remember spending like an hour just trying to figure out how to get this blue thing. And I never did. And then I stopped playing.
You gave up.
But it's and what's funny about that. So I'm sure that was before we started the podcast.
There's nothing funny about giving up, Perry.
Yeah, nothing funny. I saw during the trailer, I believe I saw them get to that coin on the trailer. And I think you have to bounce off an enemy to get to it. And like I thought that was so fun. I was like, I am very sure, even though this was like over 3 years ago that I played this, I am very sure that that is the exact thing that I was trying to get. And they show it off in the trailer right there, which is really funny.
That's amazing.
But anyway, it's a really fun game. Honestly, if you're looking for a decent platformer, like a good platformer, and it's only $4 right now, you know, $5. It's really good. Honestly, it's really good. So I would recommend it. I'm probably going to pick it up and just have a run through again. It was fun.
Do it right now.
I am. I'm proceeding to purchase right now.
Boom. Proceed. That's when you know it's a legit pick of the week.
Exactly. Done. All right, now that brings us to, what does that bring us to?
The old news block.
News talk with Casey Gibson.
I love the news block. It is my favorite part of the week.
Yes, sir. So why don't you take the first bit?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy
you
birthday to
you. You look like a monkey
you.
And you smell like one, too.
Oh.
Miyamoto.
Would he look like a Donkey Kong?
Yep, yeah. And he smells like Donkey Kong, too.
There it is. He turned 67 this past week.
Dude, he's 67, man.
I was thinking about that.
He's almost 70.
I was like, he does not look a day older than 50.
No, he doesn't.
He's got... I think, like, I've seen pictures of him when he's younger, and he actually looks older than he is now. Or, you know what I mean? He's yeah. like Benjamin Button.
Yeah. Benjamin Mutton.
Oh, he's got that. He's got the good genes, I guess.
Benjamin Mutton.
There it is. Yeah.
Shigeru Miyamoto. Yeah, 57. Happy birthday, Miyamoto.
Crazy,
You've
dude.
Made some of my favorite games of all time.
Yep, he's a genius. And speaking,
the creator of Pikmin.
And let's go. Hey, Pikmin. Although I don't know how much involvement he had in that. Next up, though, we've got a date for Minecraft Dungeons. I did mention earlier we're going to be talking about Minecraft. But yeah, Dungeons to release in April 2020.
And what is Dungeons? Like, is that game, is that like Diablo?
Yeah, that's like the Diablo-esque looking one, like little
gotcha.
Action
yeah.
RPG.
Cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
You know... Yeah, it's weird that like they. I mean, honestly, I mean they've done like the story mode of Minecraft, but like it's kind of weird that they haven't like banked off of the and done other spin-off games of Minecraft. Right?
Well, now they are.
I know it's weird, but it's like I feel like this should have happened like 5 years ago. But yeah,
I guess. Well, I'm pretty sure a lot of people just like make their own games within the base game, right? So it's like
right,
like
but I mean,
why bother
I mean, like, completely
when people
new experiences.
Can just continue to. Build upon in there.
Well, I don't know. It's like, yeah. I mean, like, it's weird that I haven't seen Minecraft Racers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's like, stuff like that, you know?
Let's
because they have a cool world.
Put it next to the smail.
Smail.
Put it on the board of ideas.
Smail bag.
The ideas to get rich off.
We got to deliver the smail.
Yeah. I can smail the tires burning in Minecraft Kart Racer.
Smail man's here.
Perry.
Casey the Smail Man Gibson.
We also have another announcement, don't we, Perry? Another date.
Don't care.
Well, let's hear it anyway.
Shovel Knight Showdown and King of Cards DLC is on December 10th.
Boom, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yep, it's so, I'm over Shovel Knight.
I know.
Over it.
It's so funny how
so
Shovel
over.
Knight was like the darling... And they just,
yeah.
Like you said, you just sort of wish they put all of that time and effort into just another, whether it be, like you said, if it was Shovel Knight 2, it's just, for me, DLC is so, I don't usually dive into it too deeply, you know, and then, and I've played, I think through, I know Plague Knight and Spectre.
Yeah, you've
yeah.
played them all. Yeah.
Are those the three released, or is there a fourth one I didn't play? Or is that... Clash.
No, this is the fourth.
King of Cards is the fourth. Okay. So yeah, so I've played them all, but yeah, and they're all super fun, but man,
yep.
It's time, boys. But
I'm over
I guess
it. Over
this will be the last one, right?
I hope so.
God willing.
For Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake is right. Well, Perry, it's at
yep.
that time of the month. We got some NPD numbers, baby. Ooh-wee.
Ooh.
All right. Ooh. To kick us off here.
I bet. Let me bet something.
Let's hear a bet.
I bet that the Switch is the best-selling platform of October and remains best-selling platform of 2019.
Perry, you are absolutely correct. The Switch is the best-selling yes. platform of October and remains the best-selling platform of 2019. Boom.
Yes.
Yeah, you nailed that yes. like almost verbatim.
Thank you.
Very impressive.
I could smell that coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
All right. So,
but that's not the only number we got.
Oh, it's not?
Nope. We've got Nintendo Switch top 10 games, physical and full game digital downloads for publishers.
So this is crazy. This is
ranked
this is really
on
the top.
Dollar sales.
Dollar sales.
So that
makes sense.
That might be. So we're going to start from the bottom, and we're going to work our way up.
Okay. Let's start. Should we start with the 3DS? Let's do the 3DS first.
Okay. Well, yeah. Oh, that was going to be a surprise, you picklehead. No. Yeah.
Oh, I'm
sorry. No, that's fine. Yeah, baby, 3DS. Let's. You start 10, then I'll go 9, and we'll work our way back up.
Okay. First off, Minecraft.
Boom.
Which is makes
we've
sense.
Been talking about Minecraft an awful lot for not playing
that's
Minecraft
one of the on only games
episode.
That you can see at the store now on 3DS.
Oh yeah,
yeah. What's the deal with Minecraft?
Yeah. Then you've got Super Smash Bros. Still staying
yeah,
strong.
Nice. And then we got Super Mario Maker for the 3DS. Did you know that they made that?
I sure do. I have it. Then you've got
that was great.
Then you got Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which makes sense for October, right? Probably people wanting to dip their toes in, getting ready for the for 3 to release.
Yeah, and that's. And that's one of the few. That's all they have is like those selects too.
Well, this
I mean?
Is dollar sales still, though.
I so know, but I mean, like if it's only the, it's one of the only games you can buy, is what
yeah.
I mean.
I think like, a lot of the these store, are so on playing. That list.
Exactly. Well, like this next one, which is one of the best games of all time, Super Mario 3D Land. Mm.
Then
number six.
Then number five, you got Majora's Mask 3D.
That's amazing. And then number four. Is cool. It's just the original Luigi's Mansion.
Which actually makes sense, you know, getting ready for Luigi's yeah. Mansion 3 to release on the Switch.
Oh, I really need to get that. I really need to get that.
Yeah, you do, you picklehead.
Looking for a good deal on that.
Then you've got Mario Kart 7, which I think
three?
Mario Kart will just sell forever and always, no matter what system.
Mario Kart 7 is really good.
Oh, for I sure, like for it. Sure.
And then number two, you have Pokemon Ultra Moon. Now, I bet you can't guess what number one is.
Well, it certainly isn't Pokemon Moon or Sun.
Mm-mm. No.
But it is Ultra Sun.
There you go. That's the number one selling game of October 2019 for 3DS.
And those two make sense, Perry. You know why?
Why is that?
In preparation for the release of Shield and Sword and Shield, you know?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that those released. It's funny that released and we didn't talk about it on the podcast.
Well, we will be talking about it. Hold on, I can get you the exact date. The episode will release on January 2nd. I will talk about
New
that.
Year.
Yep.
So you're telling me we're going to talk about that game next year?
Yeah. Well, actually, you
Fat
and
chance.
I will...
Fat chance.
No. You and I will talk about it this year. Everyone,
oh, that's true.
Everyone will hear it. Next year.
Unless you're a patron. No,
yeah. Well, no. Because, yeah. Nope. They'll hear it next year, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's move on to the coup de claw. And that,
the what?
Where is it? The Switch games. Here we go. You want to do the same thing?
Yeah.
I'll start. 10. Let me start number 10. So this way you get to reveal the big dog.
Wait, did you just put it on the...
I might have moved it down there by accident. I thought you did.
Okay. Okay.
Number 10. We've got new Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
Still selling.
Such a great game. Good. I'm happy for that game. Number 9, keeping up with the side-scrolling Mario
with
games, we have Super Mario Maker 2.
Boom. Did you know that game came out?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it.
Next up here, number 8, not a Nintendo game. The Witcher 3, baby, Wild Hunt.
And not an Activision game.
No, it
a Warner Bros. Game.
The good old Warner Brothers bringing the heat.
Yeah, nice. I forgot about that game, too. Number
7.
Seven. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Number 6, beautiful. Overwatch, baby, another non-Tendo game.
Yep. Number five, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Perry's favorite. Then. Mm-hmm.
It's the best. It's definitely the best one.
Then Mario Kart 8. Boom.
Oh, but not 8 Deluxe. Yeah. Just Mario Kart 8. This is the Wii U one.
They're lying.
Number three. Ooh, we're getting to the good ones. The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
Boom shakalaka.
That's a great game.
Then you've got Ring Fit Adventure clocking in at number two. Now, just to reiterate, this is ranked on dollar sales, and that was an $80 game. So, a little inflated, but I think it's still really impressive. It's that, you know, up there at number two, so.
Now,
you bought this game, didn't you?
October? Yeah, I did.
Have you played
it yet, though? No. I need to. That's what I should have played instead of
Classic Perry.
I actually forgot I had it. Honestly, I forgot I had it. Mm-hmm. So I will play that instead of Forger. Unless Forger hooks me.
But you're getting
now,
fit.
You said this.
The doctor ordered red meat and Ring Fit Adventure.
Okay, thank you.
Dr.
Thank
Casey.
You, Dr. Wah Casey. So this is just October?
This is October. October, yes.
This is crazy, then, because the number one game is Luigi's Mansion 3, which came out on October 31st.
Boom.
So that's crazy, right?
Well, like it I had think one day. When we talked about it, wasn't it like number three on the total NPDs or something?
Yeah.
So, or just, yeah. I mean, I guess if you think about it, the lion's share of a game is probably made within the first couple days, and like launch day being definitely high, you know, percentage. And like any other game, or like what other games were released in October on that list? The Witcher 3,
Ring Fit,
and Overwatch. Overwatch was only a $30 game, or $40. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? I think it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Plus, also, it's the fact that, like, hey, Luigi's Mansion 3, Ghosts, you know, Halloween, people are probably more stoked to pick it up and, like, that be their Halloween plan, you know, more so than, you know, anything else. But yeah, I mean, regardless, very impressive.
Very.
Boom, boom.
All right, and that's it for our news, then.
Yes, sir. And...
and I can't believe
it. I think that means it's time for us to take a little musical break, as Perry would say. And
let's take a trip to Sweden.
Yep, yep. We're hopping on the plane. I'm flying coach. Perry's flying economy.
Business class. Oh, okay.
Is there even a difference there? I don't even know.
I don't think so. I think they're
different
airlines probably use
when I was coming
terms.
Back from you on the second flight, there were open first class seats, and they started asking people, and I was like, man, I wish they asked me. I want to live the good life, Perry.
But you didn't. You should have went forward.
Well,
and
the
volunteered.
Problem was I was too far back. So, like, you know what I mean? They were asking a few people, like, working their way back, and I was just too far back. Maybe.
Should have set up front.
Maybe some. Well, maybe if I had better seats.
Yep.
Thanks, Jill.
Don't you still owe me for that ticket?
I do, yes.
I'm just kidding. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and come back with... we haven't really told
some
anyone.
Swedes,
this is the... Michael Forslund. Let's talk about Alwa's Legacy, a Kickstarter game.
Heck
so
yeah, man.
Don't want to miss it.
Heck yeah.
It's a nice interview. All right, everyone, we are here with Michael Forslund of Elden Pixels. Say hello, Michael.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Great.
It's going good. It's going good. It's 4 p.m. Friday afternoon here in Sweden, and we're just getting ready to do this talk and then head out into an after work at the office, so that's good.
Ooh. Nice. Now, yeah. What's the weather like over in Swedeland?
Normally, during this time of year, quite cold and rainy. Dark, mm-hmm. for sure. Gets dark around 3 p.m. So
that's crazy.
Yes. Yes, oh, I know.
It's getting dark at like 5:30 over here, and I'm like, ugh.
I know. Yeah.
3, it's early to get dark.
Does it get like bright super early, or is it just like really short days?
Yeah, it's really short days. It gets bright around 9 a.m., something like that. Wow. So basically, it's cold when you go home from work. It's dark when you go home from work, and it's dark when you go to work next in the morning. So if you have an office job like I do, and you don't really see any daylight, unless you go for a hike or for a walk during lunch, something like that, or the weekends, of course.
And now, is your full-time job at Elden Pixels?
Yes. Okay, I've done this now for 1.5 years. I had another job in the gaming industry before. And March last year, I quit my normal day job in the gaming industry and went full-time with Elden Pixels, trying to pursue this indie game development dream.
You're a madman. You quit.
I know.
You quit the cushy Zoink job.
Yes, that was actually a quite sweet gig.
For all I knew, you just sat around there and played video games.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
8 hours a day.
Living the dream.
No, I really enjoyed my time at Zoink Games, but I've always been adventurous, and my dad ran his own business, still does. He's been doing his own business for 40 years. So this was like something I always kind of wanted to do, even like when I was a child. So I knew that it would eventually lead to me doing this. But it's not only That's me. Awesome. We're three of us right now in the studio, and we have help from an intern, and we also have a few external artists working on Alva's Legacy. So it's not... It's not me alone in the basement. We're actually in a nice office together with a lot of other cool companies as well.
Yeah, I always like the smaller team, you know, more tight-knit.
That's how a lot of them are. Yeah, that's how they got to be. They all can't be like Image and Form.
No, exactly. we're quite a small team. Yeah.
What is it that you do, Michael? Like, I mean, like, what do you program? Are you an artist or...
The thing is, I've done a couple of things throughout my years in the gaming industry. Like normally I did like at Zoink and Image and Form, I did marketing and like project management and office management and stuff like that, basically middle management. But at Elden Pixels and for Alva's Awakening and Alva's Legacy, I'm the level designer and game designer, game director, or whatever you want to call it. Like basically the ID guy, but I do all the levels and script and stuff like that. I don't do any programming, although I know my way around programming, but I leave that up to more talented people.
See, that's
level design is cool.
That's directing is awesome, and the cool thing is that you have the people that can program, and they have a really amazing passion for that, and they're really good at it. And I've tried that, and whoa, it is just not. It's just not for me. It's a tough job. It requires lots of patience, but cool. Yeah. Well. So we've talked about Alva's Awakening before on the podcast. I really enjoyed it. It's this really super adorable and just it's so shiny, like crisp, NES kind of style Metroidvania platformer game. And you play as what is the girl's not Alva? She's
so.
That's
Zoe
right.
Zoe or So, depending on what you call her, but we call her Zoe.
And it's this, if anyone hasn't seen it, check out gameplay. It's just a really pretty game, and it has a really nice flow. I remember talking about it. It's mixed in with some old school challenge, which I really like, especially because everything seems kind of smooth as butter. Nowadays, like everything is really just kind of easy, pared down. And then this one, you know, this is the point where you could get a significant, you know, amount into the game and then die. And then you have to go pretty far back to the checkpoint you were at. And and I love that. I mean, I really do love that because it makes you really care about every single move that you make.
Yeah, you're not just going in there willy-nilly. You know, there is, some downside to your decisions, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So this game has been, I've still can't believe it hasn't got a physical release yet. but it needs to happen.
Maybe a double pack, baby.
Yeah, yes. Well, yeah. So, and now we have Alwa's Legacy that is currently on Kickstarter right now,
yeah.
Which is very exciting and horrifying and terrifying all at the same time. And so Alwa's Legacy is kind of like a Super Nintendo upgrade of, I mean, a sequel? Is that kind of like what it is?
Yeah, it does look 16-bit style, although we didn't really decide that we wanted to mimic any Super Nintendo style. The thing is, our artist who did Alwa's Awakening, he's a big fan of Sega Mega Drive. So when we started working on the sequel, he just had these really cool sprites that looked 16-bit, but really came out of the Sega Mega Drive style out of graphics. But the resolution and the whole style of the game kind of came from technical limitations due to that we wanted to have a resolution that could scale well to the Nintendo Switch handheld, but also scale to like 1080p, you know, full screen on a normal computer. And so we ended up with this resolution that's a lot bigger than the SNES and Super Nintendo console, but still kind of had a SNES feeling to it. But for this game, we kind of didn't follow any rule books like we did for Awakening. So this Alwa's Legacy has like modern shader effects, and we could do like pixel effects on water. We can do lightning. We can do dynamic shading and stuff like that. And we just wanted to feel creative and not be limited by any like ancient game design in that sense.
Right.
So I think everyone thinks it looks Sega Mega, Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis, but for our, it's just high-bit pixels art style,
exactly.
I'd say.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking at, you know, screenshots and some GIFs and stuff on the Kickstarter, and I mean, it looks absolutely beautiful, especially the backgrounds. They look really, really nice.
Yeah,
the game looks done, Michael. What are you trying scheme you doing here? No, I was going to say, I mean, this is kind of the age-old thing, but what I love about pixel design and, you know, so back then, why it's so timeless is because it both describes something to you, but it also leaves room in your mind to fill in the blanks
for,
like, what you're seeing, like your imagination, and I love that. And so back then it was great, and now you can do that now and still use some of the modern techniques like light shading and, you know, just all that kind of stuff to make give some flair. And so I think it's a cool thing because I think it's kind of set, like, I love how in video games we've got to an area where, like, we're comfortable with what everything, like, everything just looks so nice now, and or everything's looking really nice. So yeah, Alwa's Legacy is looking amazing, and it's doing really well on the Kickstarter also.
Yes.
So it's over halfway. It's well over halfway now.
It's 65% and counting each percentage every day.
I'm going to be honest.
Is that nerve-wracking to sort of have to keep sort of F5-ing, right, to update and be like, oh, man, like, where are we now?
I was more like scared in the beginning, but we had a really good start, right? We launched like we were supposed to launch at I think 10 a.m and we launched like 2 minutes before, so it was like launched 9:58, and like 4 minutes later I was about to send out our tweets, and we already had like 6,000 kronos out of 250, like $600 out of $2,600. So we had a lot of money just like 4 minutes in, and that kind of make me feel more calm about it. But what's scary now is that it's like you're in that middle now where we're approaching the middle of the Kickstarter where it's pretty much quite calm. And
yeah,
we
that's
haven't
how
had,
it always is.
Yeah,
everyone keeps saying that, and everyone is like, yeah, keep calm. You don't have to worry about it. You're doing good. But I feel confident, but it's still scary as hell. And
well,
I
you haven't gotten the Talk Nintendo boost yet.
No, exactly. Yeah.
See?
No, that's
when this podcast goes out.
That's going to help. And every little mention or retweet or help we can get for anyone is really, really, really appreciated, because we need all the help we can get to get this 100% funded.
And so if this is 100% funded, is it coming to Switch, PS4, Xbox, and Steam?
That is the plan. right now during development, we're only doing the Steam version and the Switch version. So that's the only thing we're planning to launch on right now. But we have, like, we know how to do PS4 games and we know how to do Xbox One games. So that shouldn't be a problem. We've already prepared for the porting. So, and each week, like during development, we build on Steam and we build on Switch. So there's no really no porting time in that sense. The game works beautifully both on Steam and Switch. And those are the launch platforms, so to speak, because it's kind of easy to develop on Steam because it's easy to send out keys and stuff like that. But we, All of Us Legacy and All of Us Awakening both feel like Nintendo titles for our way to see it. So it felt it was a solid choice to release on Switch on day one for All of Us Legacy.
Well, I know that could not care less if it comes out on PS4 or Xbox One. Casey, what do you think?
Hey, the more platforms, the better, you know? It obviously looks like it's going to be a really fun game, so I think it never hurts, you know? Especially from the developer side, right? You know, more places for people to play it is always a good thing.
Yeah.
But exactly. Most importantly, it's coming to Switch, so yeah.
Exactly.
Is now, there anything? Or you got some, Perry?
No, yeah, you got.
I was gonna say, is there anything from Awakening, you know, from a gameplay perspective that maybe you guys wanted to do, or maybe, you know, as development went, you thought of it maybe a little too late to actually get it in, that is gonna be in Legacy? You know, any ideas or gameplay elements like that?
Yeah, lots of them. We had like this huge idea list, and that's always the way when you do video games. You have so many ideas, but so little time. So we basically saved all our ideas in an ideas board on this program called Trello. So we had like 200, not rejected ideas, I would say, but the ideas that we weren't able to put in Awakening. And it was quite fun to go through all these, because some of these ideas were like dated 2015 or 2014. And I was like, yeah, we should have a skeleton with a head that explodes. And like now, 5 years later, we're actually getting that skeleton with an exploding head. So yeah, there were a lot of ideas that we went through and wanted to add in the game, areas and stuff like that. But I won't spoil too many about the details. But our new coolest system is that we have this sort of ability system, which is in addition to your normal magic, which you can use, you can create a magic bubble, a magic block, and a magic projectile. You can also have four different abilities, which you'll use in order to traverse the world. And these are really cool to play with in combination with your normal magics. And that was a huge step for us, not only designing how it should work, but making sure it was also fun and coming up with all the, you know, fun abilities that you can have in order to move your way through the world.
That's awesome, dude. I mean, yeah, like I said, everyone should visit the Kickstarter page, Elden Pixels, Always yes. Legacy. Check out, there's tons of GIFs and screenshots that just look awesome. And it just makes me so excited because, honestly, I know that I hate to, like, you know, genre it because it is its own game, but I just love the filling out the map, running around and getting... like getting the new weapons and all the different things that unlock different areas and can do different things with the, with the combat. It's just a great game design and it's really just fun. And that I feel like the gameplay kind of comes first with Awakening, and this looks the same with Legacy. It just looks really fun. I'm really excited for it. If everyone listened to this right now went and backed it, it would be backed 500%. So, and even if everyone made the pledge without the reward, which is about $6, you could do that and it would really help. It would be amazing to get this game out. Now one last question. Yeah. Are you planning on porting this to the NES?
No, but we are trying to port Alva's Awakening to NES. I don't know how much you know about this, but the first game we are trying to kind of port to NES, which is a lot of work, but we're not doing it in-house. We have help from this guy called Paul over at NES Infinite Life. So he's doing all the code and he's streaming it on every Wednesday. And that's a quite interesting project to follow. It's a lot of work making NES games, but it's fun.
That'd be pretty cool to be able to fire in a cart and see that playing on the original hardware.
Yeah, exactly. And we're actually not quite far from, because he's done this for a couple of months now. So he has the basic engine. You can jump, you can attack, you can change rooms and stuff like that. And what we've done on our end is that we've ported all the levels to a smaller screen, because Alva's Awakening was made for a 16:9 resolution, like, you know, normal modern widescreen. Yeah. But an NES is 4:3. So we had to redo every single room in the entire game, which took pretty much a couple of weeks, but now we've done all those and we sent them off to him, so pretty soon we'll be able to play like through all the rooms, hopefully, and that's going to be really amazing. Cool. Yeah, I think so. It's cool to talk about, and it's really awesome Paul doing this amazing work with the code.
I remember a tweet that you like a week or two weeks ago talking about the game file sizes of, like, I forgot. you were comparing them to something else, like
Do you mean my tweet about how big in size difference all the versions were?
Yeah.
It was, I think it's 64 kilobytes. It's the NES version. And the Xbox One version is like, it's almost 500 megabytes.
It's just so funny that you can, like, I take a picture on my phone and that picture is like 6 megabytes.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And this is 65 kilobytes. I just don't get it. I'm just going to be honest. No. I don't get it. But so everyone, please go check out Elden Pixels, everything they're doing. Check out Always Awakening right now on Switch. It is amazing. I think is it $10?
It's $10, correct.
Yeah. Oh, boom. My goodness. Such a good deal. And obviously look forward to their physical publishing of it, that it'll come sometime soon. I assume. Here's the thing, Michael. When I say this on my podcast, I have this magical power that when I say this, it actually happens. It just happens. So I hope you're ready for it, Michael. You're just gonna get it on your doorstep. It's just gonna come in a physical Switch package right there.
So you're saying I don't have to do any work at all?
You don't have to do any work. Arrive.
That's amazing. Yeah. That sounds like a done deal.
I know.
A magic wizard comes through.
Of course, I get all the profits, but of course. Please go check out Always Awakening. Check out Always Legacy again on Kickstarter right now. There's a couple weeks left on this. Please support a good indie developer, and we are also going to be giving away, just in case you're a cheapskate or you just like winning contests. And you want to try Always Awakening out for yourself, we're going to be giving away a code that Michael has generously given us for our podcast. So that will obviously be on Twitter, and we'll do a retweet thing. So please go check and try to win a copy of that. It's really fun. And thank you so much, Michael. You're the best.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Yes. And real quick, what's your Twitter? Is it at Elden Pixels? Is that what it is?
Yes, our company is at Elden Pixels. We're Elden Pixels on all the social media accounts.
Elden Pixels. All right.
Yep.
Sweet. Great.
Thank you so much, Michael, and we'll have you on the show soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thanks.
Cheers.
Ooh wee! Yes, sir.
I love that guy. He's funny.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and I have not played any of those games, but I really ought to, because they look wonderful.
Yeah.
I definitely have my eyes on this one. I think, you know, I'm not a huge Metroidvania-esque kind of guy, but this one looks really cool.
Yeah, it's different though. I mean, it really is different. Always Awakening, it is Metroid-esque, but it's not like...
No, it's not like a true and tried Metroidvania.
It's interesting, yeah, and it has a fun little... It's simpler, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like... It's not so like exploring every nook and cranny and then retracing your steps and everything like that. It's really more open. It's kind of like playing an open world Mario game, if that makes sense. I don't know. Hard to explain. But yeah, it's a great game. Thank you everyone for listening. It's funny. Funnily enough, we're going to be giving away two things this week, because we forgot that we're giving away Alva's Awakening.
Oh, that's right, dude. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So That'll be the retweet one. And then we've got day and night and day. I always want to say day and night. Night and day for the iTunes review.
Yeah, but then didn't we say we're doing a $5 eShop card too?
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Merry Christmas.
It's a Thanksgiving miracle. Yeah. You can really give thanks, okay? Because you can win one of these
things.
So, yeah.
Should we change up? Maybe we shouldn't. I was going to say,
change
do
up
the
what?
$5, literally buy those reviews.
No.
I joke.
No, but let's just put this as a standing offer. We'll give you $5 if you give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, don't say that, dude. All said, like, 100 reviews. It would be like, that's great.
I'm totally kidding.
But, oh, no.
And then they all change them to 1-stars. Yeah.
Can you change?
These guys said that... These guys said that they'd pay us $5 for a 5-star rating.
Not only are they scalpers,
but he only gave me
crooks.
One. Yeah, I did like this podcast until it turned out that these guys were just dirty, rotten scalpers.
It happens, man.
It does happen. I was just kidding, everyone. Please, just give us a 5-star review. We're not going to give you $5.
Perry will come and kiss you on the lips, though, if you want.
I will do that. If I see you in public, I will do that. Right on the mouth.
Boom.
If you take us to state, which is giving us a 5-star review, I will kiss you, each and every one of you, right on the mouth.
I feel obligated every time we mention kissing on the mouth, that time you offered to kiss that little boy on the lips.
I know you do. I know you do.
And then you have to put your defense up. Like, it's not what it sounds like.
It's not. It's from King of the Hill. It's a joke. Josh gets it, okay? Mm-hmm. As long as Josh gets it, he can back me up.
There's a reason we call him the pervert, folks. Yeah, so that was another episode of Talk Nintendo Podcast. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at Talk Nintendo Pod. That's Talk Nintendo
P-O-D.
Or you can just click that little description button on your iPod service. Or I always say iPod. Just your podcast service, whatever you use there. Mm-hmm. You can get the link.
iPods don't exist anymore.
Yeah, I know. They got rid of it. You can just zoom right over there. You can see our tweet, retweet, enter the contest for a giveaway. Also on Patreon, patreon.com/NWR. Patreon.com/NWR. And for a dollar.
Yeah, game night. Join us.
Yep, for a dollar, you get extra episode of Talk Nintendo Podcast every month, as well as you unlock the backlog of those episodes for the previous months. And Radio Free Nintendo and game nights and all that fun stuff. So definitely worth checking out.
Come play Luigi's Mansion 3 with us this week.
Yeah, baby. But yeah, on that note, get ready for some Thanksgiving fun next week.
Party on, Casey.
Party on, Wayne.
You should have said party on.
Party on, part.
Party on, part.
Party on, part. I want to live the good life, Perry.